Howie Kapostas seems to go through life with little visible impact. He can't speak, read, or write because of a head injury he suffered in Vietnam. 30 years later, he works as a gardener at a convent and lives in his old childhood home where he rents rooms to virtual strangers. Howie doesn't seem unhappy. To much of the world, he just doesn't register. His closest friend is his old high school sweetheart, Sylvia, who usually has no use for him. Till one day she has to check herself into a drug rehabilitation program and needs somewhere to park her 9-year-old son, Ryan. The relationship that Howie develops with Ryan and how Howie reconnects to the world is at the heart of a debut novel written by Dave King. The book is called The Haha. He joins us now from our studios in New York. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And you notice from the first page, this is a man who communicates in the world by grunting and gesturing, but it's a mistake to think there's nothing inside of him.
What the book articulates is the world inside Howie that that the people in his own life are not able to see.
I want to give our listeners a chance to hear the voice in that book, Howie's voice. I wonder if you can read us a section.
Sure. The setup is that Sylvia, of course, has gone into rehab, and Ryan is spending his first night at Howie's house. It's a large, urban, Victorian house that Howie inherited from his parents, and they've had a reasonably good day, and just before this section begins, Howie has taken Ryan on a little tour of the house. I wonder if I'm supposed to kiss him. He and I don't have a kissy relationship, and I'm not wishing to start one, but I believe I'll do whatever's right. The first few hours have gone well enough, I suppose, so I point at the futon on the floor of the spare room. Mi casa es su casa, I'd like to say. If I could talk, I'd tag along into the room, remind him to brush his teeth, and ask if he's brought his PJs. We'd drift into empty conversation, and I'd admire his Indian's cap and ask about favorite players. By the time we finished chatting, he'd be in bed. I could leave with a brisk wave or read him a story while he drifted off. But instead, here we are in the square landing between the bedrooms, searching for some way to say good night. And even if the day has passed well, I'm tired, and I don't have much in reserve for the morning. The truth is, this boy is a little stranger, despite my history with his mom, and perhaps the best option is for Sylvia to take him away. Perhaps the house tours depressed me too, all this looking into corners. So I stare at the floor, asking myself what on earth I was thinking, and at last the stranger puts out his hand. I look at it a moment and give it a small shake, and he gazes at me squarely and manages a flat smile. Then he goes into his room and shuts the door.
Why did you want to create a book in the voice of a character who can't, except in the most minimal way, communicate with the outside world?
I suppose the real spark for this character originated with my brother Hank, who was born profoundly autistic and never spoke. And so I'm you know, that's been an issue with me. And at one point after Hank died in 1993, I began thinking about what his life might have entailed if he had been more normally abled. And one thing I realized was that he would have certainly had to go to Vietnam, which, of course, he didn't. And I grew up thinking that I was the one who would go to Vietnam. I narrowly missed the war just by being young enough. But I think that was the spark that sort of got me going.
While there are moments of warm humor in the book, the title will throw some people. So why don't we get you to explain that what a haha is?
It's a way of breaking up the landscape, used particularly on large manor houses and farms. What it literally is a wall that's concealed in a ditch. There is an actual haha in the novel, and I found myself returning to it again and again. And I think the reason for that is that the way a haha functions is that it gives the illusion of continuity, despite the fact that there's a kind of a fissure in the landscape. And of course, one of the things that I began to recognize as I pursued the novel was that there's a similarly undisclosed rift in the landscape of Howie's life.
How does the insertion of this little 9-year-old boy change the surroundings?
I suppose one thing it does, in the most simplest terms, is that it breaks the routine. Howie is completely in a rut, and has been in a rut for decades at the beginning of the book. He has very few associates or friends. He has a little civil service job that he does, and he lives on his disability payments. But essentially, he's got a big chip on the on his shoulder and hasn't much to do with anybody else. And so here comes this kid, and he starts by having to care for him. And at the beginning of the book, he resolves that he's going to feed him and clothe him and get him to school, and that will be it. But of course, it's never that simple. And by the middle section of the book, Howard wants to give Ryan, you know, emotional and psychic sustenance as well, and he begins to want that in return.
I gather you set out to be a painter years ago, Mr. Kane.
I was a pretty serious painter for about 10 years without finding worldly success. I think I found some artistic success there, but I didn't show a lot or sell a lot of paintings.
Is there something from painting that you put into your fiction now?
Yes. One of the things that I learned from being an artist in the studio was to be willing to sacrifice even the parts of the painting that I loved. To be willing to throw it all away, scrape it all down, paint over it, whatever. There are huge sections of the manuscript which I tossed out or, rewrote, even sections that I thought were really quite interesting and good because they didn't serve the larger whole.
Mr. King, do you mind telling us how long, one way or another, it took you to write this book?
It took probably 7 years. I started it, and then I did put it aside for a good part of the time that I was in graduate school, and I wrote a lot of poetry during that time, and actually rewrote one of these drafts in iambic pentameter because I thought, we're inside this guy's head. We don't know what the inside of someone else's head is like. Wouldn't it kind of push the envelope if inside Howard, there was blank verse? As it turned out, I don't happen to be Byron, and I wasn't really able to pull it off.
Through the course of the story, without giving anything away, Howie goes from thinking, "All right, I'm gonna do my best by this little boy until his mother picks him up," to thinking, "This I like the way my life has changed. I like this little boy."
It's important to remember that Howard, until age 18, was someone who assumed that he would continue and have the typical American life. He would have a family, he would have a job that was on some level satisfying. And this was all that was taken away from him. This was the cost of war for him, in addition to losing his speech. But all of that other stuff, the loss of his dreams and his aspirations, and more than his aspirations, his expectations of what he was entitled to. So one of the things that happens over the course of the book is that he reconnects with those expectations, and he begins to try to figure out how he could regain that. And once he has Ryan in his life, all of that begins to come welling back, and it's an experience that Howard finds both joyful and painful.
Mr. King, very nice talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Dave King speaking with us from New York. His first novel is The Ha Ha.